Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Can you believe it? We've only got two shows left for this year, this show and then next week's show. And I'm really super excited about my guest today, who I will get to in just a moment. Of course, I do want to read a little section from my book, as usual. And this one is actually kind of interesting because I think this one is perfect for who my guest is today. So let me get to that, and then I'll introduce you to my guest shortly. So this section of my book is entitled, Harmony is When We Flow Effortlessly from Being to Doing. Sometimes we focus too much on doing, especially in the Western world, where productivity is so highly regarded. To find balance, we must focus on being. Both doing and being have a place in our lives. Both are important. They're like two sides of the same coin. When we learn to be more of who we are, we can do from a deeper place. When we take the time to meditate on what it is we want to be, what we want to do becomes more obvious. When we spend too much time on the doing, we get too busy to just be. Yes, we create a lot of things when we focus on the doing. We build everything from bridges to social media followings. We write books, close deals, and create new organizations. Yet, doing can become a trap. We get hooked on pursuing the next goal, the next accomplishment, the next thing to do. It is only when we take a step back to just breathe that we can see things a little more clearly. When we allow ourselves to take a break and just be. Be in nature. Be with friends and family. Or just be alone. We can ask ourselves why we are doing all the things we do. We can then look at it as if it is all in alignment with what we are about. Is our doing fully embodying our being? Is what we are creating truly an expression of what our essence calls us to? At the same time, if all we do is focus on how to be, then do we really accomplish anything? Are we bringing some creation into the world from our being? Harmony is achieved when we learn to flow effortlessly from being to doing and from doing to being. It takes time to master this flow, yet isn't it worth it? So this section I wrote a while ago, I think mostly because I remember at the time, I know for myself personally, and I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but it's so easy for me to get caught up with all the little day-to-day things. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And, you know, got to clean the apartment and rearrange things and change stuff and go meet this person and do this show and do this and do that. And I get too caught up in the do. And I can get lost and not stop and take the time to just sit and be. And it really is a practice. It really was something that took me a while to, you know what? I can slow down. It's okay. I can just take some time to be, to just sit with myself. to feel what's going on inside, to feel what's right, to feel like what's the next thing to do. So often we just rush into the doing. We just rush into the next appointment. We rush into the thing. And I've found for myself personally, one of the greatest gifts for myself has been just taking a pause, just taking a breath before I start something, before I go to the next networking event, before I have the next phone call, before I sit down to write my next blog post, to just take a breath and just center myself and just feel what's going on in here, inside. And then to just allow myself to come forward from that place. And it's so curious that when I actually slow down and take the time to not be rushing around and not be doing so much, and just slow down and stop and be, somehow then when I start doing, it flows so much easier. It unfolds so beautifully. The right answer, the right thing to say, it just comes out of me. It's so interesting how I can get so much more done with so much less effort by just taking the time to sort of line myself up with what wants to come through me. It's one of my recent lessons and one I attempt to really keep present in my consciousness is it's not about me doing something. It's about what is life calling through me? What does life want to come through me in the moment? And if I'm too caught up in the doing, I'm not connected to that. But when I stop and I slow down and I take a breath and I pause and I give a little bit of space, then I can connect to that thing that wants to be birthed through me. And so what I would say for this next week, maybe between now and the next show, take a little bit of time to just be. Schedule it. Put it into your calendar. Free time. Time for me. Time to just be. Put it in there and guard it very jealously and just do nothing. Don't watch TV. Don't be reading the news or reading a book or anything. To just sit and be and stare out the window or take a walk or do something where you're just with yourself and just see what comes up for you. Any ideas, any decisions, any feelings that maybe are things you should, you know, potentially pay attention to. So, a wonderful section from my book, Everyday Awakening. Oops, I forgot to change my background. Just to remind you, if you wish to get my book, this is where you get it, www.everydayawakeningbook.com. It's filled with all kinds of insights and thoughts. As you see, each one of them, it's not very long. It's a page and a half, just to help you find a place to be, you know, a little more empowered, a little more thoughtful, a little more insightful into your own life. So I hope you enjoyed it. As I mentioned, perfect section of my book, which again, I did not cherry pick this. This was not on purpose. Actually, probably was on purpose, but not by me. It was just the one that was next up because I actually didn't do a reading from my book last week. I just did some quotes. And so I said, okay, what's the next one? That was the next one. So it is now my honor and my pleasure to introduce to you Nandar Matari, who was born and raised in Myanmar. Myanmar, which used to be known as Burma, where she started learning and practicing the precious ancient methods of mindfulness and meditation from many Buddhist monks and masters. She worked in different careers as an English teacher, as a financial consultant, and later as a sales manager and recruiting specialist in Germany. In spite of her great professional successes, she did not feel fulfilled. I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but I've had many guests on who can relate to that, and decided to follow her passion of teaching meditation. And she started doing that in 2014. Through her daily convention of meditations and diverse experiences over the past 28 years, she has created different forms of guided meditations and has taught thousands of people in groups and individuals in settings in Frankfurt, New York, Myanmar, Singapore, and Zurich over the past 8 years. And she comes to us today from her home where she currently is in Zurich, Switzerland. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Nanda.
Thank you very much, Sam, for having me today.
Ah, my pleasure. My pleasure. It was so much fun to be connected to you through a friend of mine who is a financial person. You know, she's an insurance person. And she's like, Sam, I think you should really connect with my friend Nandar. And it was just a beautiful conversation. So I'm really glad that we were able to make this to work. So I'm curious, I believe you're my first guest who grew up in Myanmar. What was it like there as a kid? What was the environment? Were you in a small village? Were you in the big city? What was it like for you?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Myanmar. So the village or the city that I born, it is not a town, I would say. I was not born in the city. So it is a hilly region, and I lived in the three-generation house. My mother, father, it's my grandfather, bought a big house, and we lived there with like 10 kids and 9 adults. And it was a great time. So we, in Myanmar, is a lot of poverty there. We were under the colony of Britannia for a long time. And after our independence in 1948, and we didn't make to the next level of democracy. So we were under the military regime for a long time. And lately, since this year, February, they also have a military coup again. And we are under this civil war state. And it is sad. But somehow I'm now providing my people back by teaching meditation online as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I feel I'm such a spoiled American, although I do like to travel to different places around the world. It's so easy to forget that there's a lot of places in the world. There are literally billions of people who live in places where things are not that stable, where there's not that much freedom, where you really do have to be careful, and where civil war is not that uncommon. So I really appreciate sort of the reminder and giving the reminder to our listeners who are listening from all over the place to really be grateful and really appreciate whatever kind of stability and peace that we enjoy in our lives. So we're going to take a break in a minute. I'm just curious. I know Myanmar is a very Buddhist country. When did you first sort of get introduced to meditation and first, start to meet these Buddhist monks there?
Yeah, I heard about meditation like when I was 15 years young from my physics teacher. And I have this calling right away that I would like to try the methods. And I got a chance 1 year afterwards, after my high school, when I turned 16. And I went to the monastery, and I sit down in the monastery for 27 days. It was my first retreats, and I learned all this meditation. It was my beginning.
And which branch of Buddhism was that monastery or this
it
tradition?
Theravada Buddhism. Even under the Theravada Buddhism, there are many different types of meditation and different traditions. So I started with one of the most popular methods in Myanmar.
It's interesting. The person who I bought this station from, the talkradio.nyc, he ended up becoming a Theravadan monk. And he now, he's went back to Australia where he's originally from, but he was ordained, I believe it was in Malaysia, and he goes to Thailand and he goes to the forests and meditates for months at a time. But I learned something from one of my guests a number of years ago. He said that in that part of the world, in the Southeast Asia, it's not that uncommon for people after high school to go to a monastery for a summer or for a year and sort of work with the monks and then come back out and then go on living their life, get married and do all kinds of stuff. And it's interesting because we tend to think of someone becomes a monk, it's like you do it for the rest of your life, but it's not necessarily that way there, is it?
Not really. And we also have like kind of a ceremony, like after our teenagers, so at the beginning of it, mostly the young adult, like 12 or 13, these teenagers for the boy, and they must have this experience of getting into the monkhood. So that it is a kind of like card from being a boy to a man. So this is the first time of it. But during that time, it was 1993, around that time, it was not very frequent that after the high school, the people go to the monastery, but it becomes a thing. So like after 1990s or something, the people have this chance so to wait for their university. At that time, they went to serve and also learn about meditation more. So gotcha. It become a trend right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, let's take our first break. And when we come back, I would like to learn a little bit more sort of about your path and your journey, from becoming sort of a successful professional to then like becoming a meditation teacher and deciding like this is really your passion in life. Okay?
Sure.
Wonderful, Nandar. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, except for the last 2 weeks of the year. We take a break. 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over Facebook on Facebook Live. And we will be right back after this.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking today with Nandar Matari, meditation teacher, all the way from Zurich, Switzerland. So Nandar, so you started off your life, you're in Myanmar. You learn about meditation as a teenager, but then you kind of start off a normal life, right? You became an English teacher, and then you became other stuff. How did things sort of progress for you? How did you sort of move through and become actually very successful in your professional career?
Thank you very much for asking. So my first meditation experience, it was in 1993. Shortly after that, I had a chance to visit the Thai border region. And I found the different world, because the Burma was a very poor state and still is. Then I just decided that I would like to travel the world and see that what kind of war out there. Then I came back to, then my mother's plan was to attend the medical school. I said that I do not want to become a doctor because I would like to travel the world. So I decided to study English at the university instead of taking the medical school. And later on, I also became an English teacher because I was very much interested in English. So with that meditation practice in my daily life, and also I went back to the different monastery one or two times in a year whenever I have the chance. So my consciousness level and my confidence level become heightened up year by year. And so I work or I make decision from my own heart from the very beginning. So though it was hard because I have no support from my parents, I also do not have any relatives at them in the foreign country. So I applied for a different university and also try many things. And in 2004, I was 27. I got the MBA acceptance in London. Unfortunately, I didn't get the visa. But I decided to proceed my way anyway. And my plan was going to America as a refugee. But unfortunately, I lost all my money in a scam in Bangkok. So I worked there shortly as an interpreter. But later on, I decided that, okay, I do not want to go back to my home country because there are a lot of, you know, corruption and also killing happening there. So I decided to go to Germany. Wow. And with one package and 10 euro. It was in 2005. And so I started my life from all over again, learning German. Later on, I found this company who trained me to become a financial consultant. And so that is how I grew seeds. And because I really listened to what I really want from my heart. And I have this drive and also confidence out of my own practice of meditation throughout the years.
So it sounds like the meditation that you were practicing really helped you to stay centered and to really pay attention to what's important on the inside. So you were able to more clearly feel and hear like what direction you really want to go in.
Yes. Yes.
I'm curious, do you remember what your very first meditation experience was like?
I still remember because I was very deep into all this meditative state, and mm-hmm. I have a high samadhi. According to a samadhi, is the high concentration. So I can literally even see the first step of my own past life. You know, my mentor monk told me that do not see all these pictures, and I just shut it off. But in 2009, when I was in Germany at the time, and all these ability coming back. So I would say that the first state of 27 days when I was 16 was very difficult. It was also the longest retreat that I've ever had, but it all worth it because I can really control my mind, emotion, and thoughts through practicing meditation.
And so once you started working like as a financial consultant and really started your professional career, did you keep up a regular routine of your meditation practice? Were you still able to do it? What was that like?
Yes. I meditate early in the morning, always 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes up to 20 minutes or 30 minutes if I have time. So without having any kind of practice, I won't be able to survive, I think, and thrive. And so it is a kind of, I have a very strong morning routines. I wake up early in the morning and then I go for a walk jogging. And then I listen at the time, the audio book. When I came back, I meditate, I take shower and I meditate right away. Then afterwards, I write down my goals and do all the stuff. So I This is the morning routines and also meditating regularly and daily basic and listening to my heart. It's also lead me to have all the success I've had.
So literally we're just meditating, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day. It is just that little bit of time. Because sometimes I feel people feel like, oh, if I'm going to have a meditation practice, I have to devote an hour in the morning, an hour at night, and like make it a whole big thing. But it actually can be very simple. It can be very short. It doesn't have to be a long, big thing. I guess the key thing you would say is consistency.
Yes, it is. It is something like meditation itself is a kind of like finding alignment and attunement to your own intuition and what is going on with yourself. It is about deeply checking in with yourself. How are you feeling? Sometimes you're also feeling tired. Sometimes you can be feeling lonely, whatever that might be. Meditation, I would say, is a form of taking shower and clearing our own thoughts. And also the emotions. It is something like the also taking the stroke of the bicycle. If we are not meditating regularly, so we cannot make the correction of our life regular basic. You know, if you say that, okay, I'll meditate once in a week or maybe once in a month. And so we'll be totally in the wrong direction. That is why meditating every day, like 5 to 10 minutes, is much more effective than meditating once in a week for an hour or once in a month in a 2 hours or so.
Gotcha. And so I'm curious, you're a very successful professional, but you kind of got to that point that I think many of us feel where it just feels hollow. It's not really satisfying. Do you remember like what it was that brought you to be able to make that decision to say, you know what, I just don't want to do this anymore. I want to teach people meditation.
Yeah. It is a big shift and transformation. I was totally all these materialistic world. And also I was grown up in Myanmar. And so the one who are successful is the one who got the medical doctor or the engineer. So when I'm coming to the, you know, Western world, so you must be very much successful as a salesperson, consultant, and so. So you must have an insurance, you must drive a certain type of car, and you must wear a certain way. So I was totally also, how do you call it, brainwashed by this pattern of what is success like. But with that spiritual development, of course, I meditate regularly. And on top of it, I also learned different types of meditation from the Hindu traditions. And I sort of took this energy cleansing methods and also past life regression, all this spiritual development that I've made throughout the year while I was working as a financial consultant, make me more and more in touch with who I really am. And I also try to see that world that we are like the donkeys chasing after the carrot in front of us and this loop going nowhere. I literally see it because right. The more I made these sales, they wanted me to get it, all these charts list, and then you have to be on top of it and let the people compete with each other so that we are in the rat race. You know, yeah. Trying to compete against each other and to make the profit for the company. So I literally see this wall instead in front of my eyes. And I say that, no, I do not do that things anymore. And because I'm climbing up the ladder, but it was the wrong ladder. I was brainwashed from the very beginning. So I decided to let it go.
Yeah, I remember when somebody told me one time, that, you know, we're so busy climbing up the ladder, we don't stop to think if it's leaning against the right wall or not, or leaning against the wall we want or not. And so I guess like the meditation helps us to sort of step back and feel like, you know, I'm climbing up this ladder, but is it the right ladder? And is it leaning against the right wall? And is this really what I want to be doing? Because you have that little, you have that break every day. You have that sacred time every day to reflect and just think about and feel into what's going on in your life.
That's sure. This is also this regular meditation is also a part of heightening my intuition. But on the other hand, that different seminars and spirituality seminars that I have taken also asked all the time, what is the real longing from your heart? What is the real longing from a heart? And so it is somehow my real longing is to make the people happy and also find the peace. All of my journey itself, my mother was a tiger mom. She wanted me to be really successful. So I also found it out that I'm trying to please my mother by showing different kind of success for her. Actually, I was not living what I really want from my heart. So this meditation itself also come naturally to me. When I become a team leader in this financial services company, I started teaching them to meditate because I really want people to find this peace and love, even if it is a 1 minute, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So I would say that the combination of my daily practice and the awakening and also healing my inner wounds of my compensation of success is the compensation for to have love from my parents. Most of the adults out there are also the same. Actually, they are not living their own life, but they are trying to please their mother or father or the society around them. So that is exactly happening with our world right now. That we are right now forced to really think about who we really are and what we really want. Yeah. So I would say that the awakening I've made it in 2012, it is now happening to a lot of people. And though it seemed to be painful, it is a very good process. And I'm very much excited for the future.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's hold it there for the moment. We need to take another break. And when we come back, I'm just curious, was there anything that caused you that any specific time? Or I just want to hear about that when you took that leap. When you finally said, okay, I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I'm going to be teaching meditation. And then what sort of happened since then and what it is that you really teach people and what people can, talk about a lot of self-mastery. We'll get into all of that. Okay.
Sure.
Wonderful, Nandar. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we will be right back with Nandar Matari right after this.
Howdy. Hey, Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Nandar, we were talking about how like your meditation really helped you to find what was really important to you in your life and how you really wanted to give this gift to people to show them how they can be happy in their lives too. Do you remember, was there a moment, was there a specific incident or was it something just more gradual that happened that brought you to the point that said, I'm done with this professional life. I just want to teach meditation and energy healing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it is a gradual shift happened with me. The first time that I can recall was on the day of I got achieved the this is a team leader team leader how did they call it congress. We were in the Congress and they're rewarded the people who become the team leader because it is difficult because I have to build up my own teams and so on. And so I also got some reward and so to go to the holiday and so on. And I was on top of the wall and I say that, okay, I tried to achieve this position for a long time and I finally achieved it. I walk on top of this stage and all these lights are shining on me. So then I was also hearing that all these people are applauding us, like maybe 5,000 or even more. Then I was just listening and I cannot see them all. And I thought that I would be very happy and I would be elated with joy. But on contrary to it, I felt that I felt lost. And I also heard myself saying, what am I doing here? So then after this event, I felt that, okay, there's something wrong with me. You know, I was depressed and so on. So I even take a break and I also went to different, vision seminars and so on. This is the first time. The second time also I achieved this sales manager position. Then after that, I also achieved this incentive holiday to AIDA. It's a cruise, five-star cruise event. And on that cruise, instead of enjoying it, I got sick. You know, for 5 days. And so it is also, there are signs in our heart, from our body, from our soul especially. It is now telling us if we have all these kind of feeling unease in our heart or having diseases, it's a sign that you have to change something in your life. So I listened to that. I pay attention to that. Then at the same time, I thought that I was together with that German guy and we were also working together. We have our own team together. And I was also unhappy with that relationship anymore. But I also don't know what I have to do because I was at that time 6.5 years in the Germany and all of the things I also built up with him. But I knew that I just have to leave this relationship first. And so I left him. It was in May 2012. Then afterwards, I tried to keep on working with that team and this constellation of working together with him with your ex doesn't work out. So I was trying to save my team, save my stuff. And at one point, I come to understand that I have to leave this industry also behind because I do not have any motivation anymore. Shortly after that, but it is not coming like right away. Okay, I know that right now what I need. It's a journey. So do some other odd jobs, and so to survive and thrive during that because it is a provision basic. So I do not have all this regular money or pay to pay my rent. So I have to do some other odd job, and then I took the sales position as a recruiter. It also went well and I can make a sales because I do not have any worries or fears to call the people and to hear no. But I also know that that is also not my choice. So then after like a couple of months or so, though I made sales, they shut down the company branch that I was appointed. Then I said that, okay, now it is a time to try something out, which is really come from my heart. I do not have any fears anymore. Then at that time, I was just sitting down in the meditation. I said, ask to God, please, dear God, tell me what I should do. When I'm really down on the knees and ready to listen, I heard that very clear message from God, teach people to meditate. So it was in 2014 March, and I've been doing ever since, and I never stopped.
Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm curious when you first started teaching, was it easy to find people or did it take a while to sort of build up a following and attract people to you for learning meditation?
It was a constant right choice, or I would say, because at the first time I heard the message on the Tuesday. And then I rent a room in on Sunday, so a couple of days later. And then I wrote that all my friends on Facebook and 5 people say that will come because they also know that I meditate and, I always talk about them. So I was in sales and I also have a huge network because I volunteers in the different organizations. And So from the 3-5 people, they say they come, and from the 3 people came. So after 1.5 hours of group meditations, 2 people say that I felt the shift in my heart and I want to work 1-to-1 with you. So from there, I have a 2 1-to-1 clients. And so from there is like, there are also slunch in between. There are not many clients, but most of the time I have this big group meditation and I have 1-to-1 clients. Mm. And I started that in Frankfurt, Germany in 2014. Then later on, I moved to New York City in 2017, and all this journey keep on going.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. I'm curious, you know, this is something that I've always found so interesting, is the difference between doing individual meditation by yourself and doing a group meditation. How would you describe the difference? And is there something where there's, it's more appropriate to do group meditation or more appropriate to do individual meditation?
It depends on the type of person, but if the people feel like meditating in a group, then meditating in a group is much more effective, and we will also achieve this energy, you know, quicker than they learn one by one. The fact is, meditation is not only about learning the techniques, it's also about copying the energy. We have our conscious field around us. They call it aura. And so when you meditate, it is somehow activating all this energy field around people. So it is something like I'm just giving the fire from my candle to the other candle without losing my light. So that is why I'm still meditating with my mentors, monks and nuns right now via Zoom on regular basis, because I'm now copying their light and their wisdom from my heart so that I can also give it back to them. So I would say that both are effective. It also depends on the type of personality. But according to my own experiences, meditating in a group is very, very good. And the people should definitely do it.
I remember hearing a number of years ago that they did a study, I believe it was in Washington, D.C. They got like 400 people together to meditate. Yeah. And the weekend that they meditated, the incidence of violent crime dropped by like 40%.
Yes.
I'm curious, when you hold your group meditations, have you ever noticed either afterwards or around that time that there's been some sort of external shift that correlated to that group meditation?
I didn't notice because I don't make any kind of research around me, but I can definitely see that every time after I meditate with a group of people I have a group meditation right now, 8 people, 10 people, till to 30 people. For the Burmese people, I have right now 45 people in the groups. So I feel the shift of the energy right after this 15 minutes guided meditation with them. I felt the calmness. All the people also felt the same.
So it's more like an individual experience, like feeling the individual experience of a shift as opposed to anything external that you've noticed.
Yeah, of course, they also change how they act. And also a lot of people, my first clients in the state, he is a young teenager's boy. He got a suicide attempt 2 years ago before he came to me. So nobody can really help him. He was all the bipolar, and, you know, he was working with a lot of different psychotherapists. And so his mother came to me while I was volunteering at a monastery in LA. And she asked me if I could help her son. So I started meditating with him on regular basis. And after 2 months, he came out of the room. And then after 3 months, he said that he knows that what he really want in our heart. In other words, is he wants something in his heart, but he thought that he has to conform his family and the society, becoming an engineer and also taking over the restaurant and so on. That make him really heavy in his thought and take the suicide attempt. So after that, you know, after 9 months later, he become totally normal person. So it is also the same. There are many different types of people who are coming to my meditation. Sometimes they have unexplainable syndrome of stress and also tumor, and they also get healed with that. And also there are different types of burnout, depressions. They all get better after working a certain period of time with me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it's amazing. You've affected so many people in your life. It's really incredible. I've had a number of people come on and they talk about meditation and how it's affected them personally, but I haven't had too many people who are actually meditation teachers. So it's great to hear about all of that. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last break before we finish up the show. So when we come back, I actually want to ask you, I know you wrote a little book called Following the Spark. So I want to ask you about that. And then we'll let people know how to get in touch with you. Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk about my new book that I'm writing too.
Awesome. Wonderful. So everyone stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And if you miss any part of the show, you know you can always catch us on all of the podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, Pandora, we're everywhere. And so we will come right back with Nandar Matari right after this.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership, here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Nandar Matari. So Nandar, you wrote a book called Following the Spark, and you're in the process of writing another book. Tell us about them.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Following the Spark. It is an autobiography. I was trying to write about the meditation, actually, but there are sequence of creation that I also do believe and trust, and it just come out my journey, how I've grown up, how I also follow my heart, and following the spark is following the inner fire. So we have this intuition and knowing inside of us that if we really follow that, we are always on the right path. It is all about it. And the second book that I'm now writing is called Beyond Limits. So it is about our universal principle or the spiritual principle, that how the universe works and how we can live accordingly. It is also beyond the limitation of having a certain cars or materials belonging or doing a certain jobs. It is beyond our limitations of what the society is giving to us. So I've been teaching all those spiritual principles since the beginning of, I started this in 2014, my career. But while I started in the group coachings and one-to-one too, and at one point when the 2020, the pandemic starts, all these people came to me as one-to-one. I couldn't handle them anymore. Yeah. Then I decided to do this 8-week groups meditation. Because I also saw that after 8 weeks, consecutive weeks of meditation, all these people also change. Their behavior pattern change. All the people who has, you know, that young guy who got a suicide attempt came out of the room after 8 weeks. You know, there are also scientific effect about meditation. After 8 weeks of consecutive type of meditation, the people normally change their prefrontal cortex and also the limbic brain. So that is why I now started, I've finished so far eight-week groups meditation, starting from last year, August 2020, until so far, and I'm now running the ninth group. So I taught this eight group meditations in three languages, English, German, and Burmese. And I saw that how the people change and totally. And so that is why right now I'm writing about that book and teaching all these eight spiritual principles and how the universe works and how we can really overcome our limiting thoughts and belief and really create a life, which is also very much coherent with our heart desires.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that this pandemic has been not just an opportunity because we've all had to spend a lot more time with ourselves, but it really sort of heightened the necessity for learning to be okay with being with ourselves. Have you noticed over the past year that like more people are open to the idea of meditation? Have more people been drawn to you, or is it just kind of been moving along the way it was before?
More people are now open to the meditation for sure. A lot of people also started with yoga. It is also fine because for the people who are very much active and all the time, the yoga itself is a form of meditation. There are four types of meditation, like the body meditation, like Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga. And the second type is concentration on the transcendental meditation, reciting something or visualization. So, but right now, what the people need is actually emotional meditation, because a lot of people do not know how to deal with their own emotion. So right. This is breath work. And I also teach this emotional meditation too. And then the fourth type is wisdom meditation, to understand how the universe works, how our minds and our thoughts work. Because a lot of people think that because I'm thinking that thoughts, it must be my thoughts and I belong to this thought. Or why I was feeling that feelings, it must be mine. And so the people have now building up a lot of self-hatred and also hatred to other people. But the real deal is the whole world is burning. The whole world is now suffering and having all these depression. So how the people could come out with good thoughts all the time. But so the meditation is also the wisdom meditation itself is learning that we are not our thoughts. We are not our emotions, and we are beyond that, our physical body and all these thoughts and emotions. So that is why right now a lot of people are open to learn about meditation and to also really anchor themselves all this turbulence and chaotic time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely it needed more than ever before with everything that's happening. Just we don't know week to week, month to month, day to day, like what's going to happen and where we're going. You also teach a course on self-mastery. What is that about?
That is the first self-mastery course is all about these eight spiritual principles and how the universe works. And I'm also writing a book about it. This is a self-mastery level one. It is about mastering ourselves, mastering our feelings, thoughts, and emotions. And the second level is, I call it self-mastery level two. This is the second level. I also teach about how the people are interrelated with each other and how to master our relationship, how to see the worldview. And what we are seeing outside is the other form of who we are. So this is also a different spiritual principle and the mindset that the people can really master their relationship. Right. And the mastery level three is all about becoming a meditation teacher. I'll be started doing next year. From this year alone, I finished three self-mastery level two as well. That is a 3 month class. And the first level is all about eight spiritual principles, how the universe works and how to master ourselves. Second level is I teach 10 habits, spiritual habits that we should integrate in our lives to master our relationships. And of course, this level three is all about becoming a meditation teacher.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, sometimes people feel that like when we've achieved a certain level of awareness or self-mastery, that like everything in life is fine. We don't have any stress or anything. what challenges you today, like with your practice and with doing everything you're doing, what kinds of challenges show up for you today?
My challenges right now is not to be over excessive with the development of my students or my clients, because I have the tendency, I would like to over give, or I wanted to give the students, show the way that they need to know before they are ready to learn for it. I mean, yeah. It's something like everything in life, we need times to grow. And so when I am seeing that myself, I just have to draw myself back. And even the people who are now suffering, or I mean, taking a lot of suicide right now in Switzerland too, and Europe, especially maybe all over the world. And I was really suffering sometime, and I really would like to help them and show them, you know, how they can come out of their own mind trapped. But in reality is that I'm not responsible for anyone around but myself. So with that, I right now, my challenge is all about bringing myself back to my center, because my enlightenment or my peace and love is the things that I can help to the world. But if I am a fire, I can spread the warmth to the people around me. If I am a water, I can spread the coolness to the people around me. So it is all about, even if the enlightened people suffer, because it is the part of life that you like the heart rate, we all go ups and down. But my challenge is also, you know, to center myself in my love and to peace every day.
Yeah. I think that's sort of, no matter how advanced we get in our practices or in what we do, that still that staying present to what's going on inside of us, staying centered every day, keeping to our practice, and learning to come from a place of seeing the world as perfect and just giving people the support they need and not trying to fix things and not trying to carry people, that's always a challenge for us.
Yeah, that's for sure. And at the same time, our regular practice of meditation is very important. I'm now right now meditating with 1 hour in a day. So with other very experienced meditators from Myanmar, I was also the disciple of a certain master, and the meditation master, and they also reached a certain level of wisdom. So I'm learning from them every day. So I also meditate on my own, like 30 to 40 minutes, and meditate with this group of people. So by having that mind support and like-minded community is very important, because we couldn't make alone. So that is why this is also my go-to. You know, I have my group of people who are also enlightened and who are also meditating regularly. I meditate with them every day so that I can stay in my center and I have my peace, which I can spread it to the world.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Unfortunately, Nanda, it's the end of the time. I could talk with you for hours. Please, if people want to learn more about you, learn about your meditation circles, where can they go? How can they find out more about you?
Sure. My meditation website, and is you can also download the 10 minutes guided meditation on my website. This is martarimeditation.com. And with S or without S, you can achieve there. And you can also follow me on Instagram with Matari Meditation. I also have this on Facebook. And also, I got a LinkedIn profile too with Nanda Matari. So from there, you will be informed about my next class. And also, my book will be launched very hopefully very soon with the title Beyond Limits.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And yeah, we'll have to kind of you come back on the show once your book is launched and schedule you back in. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show today. I truly appreciate you. I appreciate what you do and what you're up to in the world. Thank you, Nanda.
Thank you very much, Sam.
And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. I didn't get to shouting out people on Facebook, been a little bit busy, but I will answer you guys. So thank you all for tuning in. Of course, stay tuned for all the other great shows on the network. And just to remind you, if you haven't caught the newest show on the network, The Edge of Every Day comes on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. I think you'll really like Sandra and what she talks about on her show. So make sure you catch that one. And of course, if you missed any part of today's show, catch us on all of the podcast platforms as well as on talkradio.nyc. So thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you one more time next week. Take care.
Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.